Today on Seculo, did a top Biden administration official commit perjury before Congress? We'll talk about that and more today on Seculo.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. First, let me just say a thank you to all the veterans who listen to this broadcast, and a happy Veterans Day to you, your families. I know so many who call in have served or have family members who've served, and I just want to start off today. It is your day, and the country thanks you, the ACLJ thanks you. We're going to be talking about some of the veterans' issues later in the broadcast with Wes Smith, who is a veteran himself, and some of the current issues that veterans are facing, especially post-Afghanistan and some of those issues involving seeing that unfold, that withdrawal unfold so disastrously after fighting for 20 years. But let me just say, before getting into the deep stuff on that, a thank you to every American who has served our country, and those who continue to volunteer to serve our country, to put their life on the line to protect our freedoms and liberties so that we can come to you and have these debates and have these discussions and have this free flow of ideas. So to all of the veterans and their families, we thank you today, and we celebrate you today, as we do really every day at places like the ACLJ. And so many Americans, I think, feel the same way, that we think about veterans every day because of our freedoms that we have. Let's get into some of the top breaking news. And this is involving, of course, the continuing kind of onion peeling around the Durham investigation. We now know President Biden's national security advisor is implicated here. Now, it's not clear yet. I don't want to get ahead of you and say he's a suspect. He's about to, you know, he's about to get, you know, indicted or something's coming down from a grand jury. But what we do know now is this, that in the Durham indictment, there's a scenario in which an unnamed Clinton campaign lawyer, we now know that lawyer has been indicted, Sussman, exchanged emails with the Clinton campaign's manager, a campaign manager, communications director, and foreign policy advisor. It's now been confirmed by news outlets that that foreign policy advisor is Jake Sullivan, concerning allegations that were in the Steele dossier, some of them related to this Russian bank that was sharing information. I mean, just wild stuff that they had come up with. So he was aware of this. Well, issue is, he testified in December 2017 to Congress that he had no idea, that he knew that the campaign did opposition research, but he didn't know about where it was coming from or Alpha Bank or what it was really about. The thing is, this guy is the top national security advisor to the President of the United States. He was formerly that top advisor on Hillary Clinton's campaign, and he served as the national security advisor to Vice President Biden under the Obama years. He has family connections throughout this administration that are just surprising, because they are not just random positions within the federal government. They are positions of policymaking. For instance, his wife was a former clerk for the now Attorney General Merrick Garland, and now is a counsel to Garland at the Justice Department. That again, is Jake Sullivan's wife. So she's a top counsel to the U.S. Attorney General. When you look at that, his brother Tom is the deputy chief of staff at the State Department for policy. It's a pretty high ranking position there as well. And then his brother's wife, Rose, holds a top position as an acting assistant secretary at HHS. These are not low level political appointments. These are top level political appointments. I mean, secretary, assistant secretary positions, senior advisor, you know, top counsels to the U.S. Attorney General, and now he's implicated. The question is, can he serve in his position as national security advisor now that it's known he was involved with this phony Steele dossier? I want your thoughts on that. Should Jake Sullivan resign today? 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air. That's 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. If it was the level of Jake Sullivan, let me tell you, folks, you can imagine the level of who this information was getting to. Be right back on Seculo.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Back to Secular. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. I want to set the stage with Than Bennett here. Than, when you think about a national security advisor to the president, it's a very top-level position. You oversee the National Security Council. You are advising the president. You're in the Situation Room if conflicts exist. Certainly the Afghanistan withdrawal, if you're talking about Iranian nuclear negotiations, anything and everything that involves our national security, you're advising the president on. Jake Sullivan, as we have said, is now someone we know is mentioned in the indictment of a Sussman, who was the Clinton campaign attorney, as someone who was getting the information about this opposition research, which involved the dossier, involved the allegations of the Steele dossier. Then he went before Congress, said he didn't know who Fusion GPS even was, didn't know these actors, didn't know anything about the bank allegations, but was just generally brief that the campaign was doing opposition research. I mean, obviously, he needs to be questioned, or maybe he has been questioned further, because he could have lied to Congress, lied under oath. That would be very serious. And whether or not what he's been telling investigators is probably very important if they've gotten to him yet.
Yeah, Jordan, at this point, I think questioning is probably the least of Jake Sullivan's concerns. And, you know, before we even get to the allegations or the perjury possibility, which I think looks very real here, Jordan, before we even get there, I think we do have to explain, as you started to do, just who Jake Sullivan is and how important he is specifically on national security matters. How big of a deal is he when it comes to foreign policy and national security? Well, Jordan, dating back to the Obama administration and then now in the Biden administration, this is literally the lead nuclear negotiator with the leading state sponsor of terror in the world. Of course, we're talking about Iran, but we're not talking about, you know, trade talks. We're not talking about tariff negotiations. We're talking about negotiating nuclear terms with the leading state sponsor of terror. So this is a hugely, hugely significant figure when it comes to U.S. foreign policy, not just now, Jordan, but dating back for the last decade in one of the most important agreements that the United States ever entered into. And in my view, one of the most dangerous. So, Jordan, it is just absolutely critical, and I really can't even overstate this enough. It is absolutely critical that figures like this not be compromised, that they be allegiant to the United States without exception. And Jordan, they cannot be compromised even by politics. Look, politics has a place in American government. It's actually a good thing to have that type of friction. But for a figure like this, who we're going to trust to go to nations like Iran and negotiate nuclear terms with, Jordan, politics absolutely cannot trump those negotiations. And as I look at this, there's a serious concern in my mind that it did just that.
I mean, we now know that the information received by Jake Sullivan was the alleged link between Trump and a Russian bank that was fed to the FBI. It was completely false. It was like that they were using the bank computers to somehow communicate with the Trump campaign and share. It was totally made up, you know, totally false. I mean, that alone, to me, Wes, when you're involved in that kind of situation at that high level and you've made those kind of allegations and it led to Mueller and it's been impeachments and it was, it seemed like time to go at the least.
Yeah.
But, you know, we know with these administrations, unless probably more pressure on Sullivan, they're probably not gonna say goodbye.
Yeah, President Biden is reluctant to fire anyone whose experience is questionable and whose behavior is questionable. He hasn't done it so far. And, you know, and Jake Sullivan testified before Congress that he had no knowledge of this whole situation regarding the Steele dossier and the Perkins Coie law firm and the Hillary Clinton campaign. There is no way he could be in the position he was in and not know something about those things. You know, he declared before Congress he had no knowledge about that. The other thing about Jake Sullivan that I find interesting and disconcerting is that you mentioned, you know, the whole, he's a political operative and has been for a long time. He's also an academic who has limited international real-world experience. And yet, this position is so critical. I mean, this person is in charge of the defense of the nation, is privy to some of the nation's most important top secrets. And that is why, in the past, most national security advisors, not all of them, but most of them have not been political operators. A lot of them have been former military members and generals. For example, Colin Powell, who we just buried last week, was the national security advisor early on in his career. General H.R. McMaster was the national security advisor for Donald Trump. Most of the time, the person in this position has real-world experience either in the military or in the intel community, and they have not in their past been much of a political operative because, as you indicated, you need to keep politics out of this position and the role that this person plays. And this is definitely not the case with Jake Sullivan.
No, I mean, not only is he not taking politics out of it, here's how the White House responded. They were caught off guard. Take a listen to their Deputy White House Press Secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, gets that question. They did not know what to say.
Is there any conflict here, given that there has been news around the indictment? Is there any conflict here that would preclude Sullivan from being able to carry out his duties?
As you just said, Jackie, I'm just now hearing this, so I don't have a comment for you at this moment. I don't know anything about what you're just mentioning, so I have to talk to our team.
So there you go, Than. They obviously seem like they weren't prepared for this information to drop on Jake Sullivan. But what I want to encourage people so that they understand is that it's, you know, we're getting higher and closer to the top people who surrounded not just President Biden, which they do, but also former Secretary of State Clinton, while she was a candidate, and President Obama. I mean, Jake Sullivan was the national security advisor to the vice president, who is now the president then. He was directly involved with the nuclear talks then. I mean, so he's been, this kind of person being this close to the criminal investigation has got to send some shockwaves through that Biden team, who rely so much on Jake Sullivan in the media to pitch their foreign policy.
Yeah, no question about it, Jordan. I mean, I think there are a couple of layers here. I can maybe give the deputy press secretary a pass for not for being caught off guard a little bit. But, Jordan, I don't buy that there's nobody at the highest levels of the Biden administration that knew about this. Again, he's been around for a very long time. He's a hugely significant player on a number of issues. He's testified in front of Congress repeatedly. I mean, the congressional testimony that you referenced from 2016 and 2017, Jordan, that's readily available to all these to administration officials. They know what Jake Sullivan has said on this. Now they've seen the report out of the Durham report. There's no way that they all could be caught off guard. But I would say this too, Jordan, just to kind of echo something that Wes said a minute ago. You know, we know that multiple national security officials in the last administration were railroaded on what ended up being just made up imaginary allegations. In this case, if this is true from Jake Sullivan, I know we don't have it yet, but it is possible, Jordan, that he will be charged with an actual crime. And I just want to, I'll be interested to see if the people that cover Washington, D.C., if the media that covers Washington, D.C. Responds on the same level that they did before when it was just allegations. If Jake Sullivan actually gets charged with a crime, what kind of coverage do you think we're going to see?
Yeah, it's interesting. Mary's got a good question on line one from Marilyn. Hey, Mary, welcome to Seculo. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. Is this information on Jake Sullivan and these others that are involved in this coming out late on purpose so that the people that are involved won't be charged because the statute of limitations is gone?
No, I'm not concerned about the statute of limitations yet. That's not an issue yet because, one, we don't know if Jake Sullivan has been brought in by Special Counsel Durham to be questioned. Has he been questioned by the FBI as the Clinton campaign attorney was and lied under oath multiple times in that questioning? He's got issues with Congress, but he's also got issues because of what, you know, he told Congress, but that he's on emails about this. So this is still very fresh and real. We're only talking about a few years here, though it's felt like a long time. And this is also, I think, I want to go back through this to people. And Than, I think this is, to me, in Washington, I went through it quickly for people when we first started the broadcast. The amount of Sullivans in top-level positions in the Biden administration is pretty shocking, actually, to see. It's not just like mid-level. It's not like a cousin of his who got a low-level political appointee position in an agency of the government. These are assistant secretaries, top advisors to the attorney general.
Yeah, and I think it's his wife's position that is maybe the most problematic, Jordan. I mean, I think at a bare minimum, she's absolutely got to recuse herself because, look, I mean, to the caller's question, there is going to have to be an evaluation made by the Department of Justice on whether or not charges would be brought against Jake Sullivan. Well, Jordan, there's just no way his wife can be involved in that process, yet she's in a position as one of the lead counsels to the attorney general to have bearing on that decision. Jordan, that's not equal justice if she's one of the people that is involved in making that decision. So I do think it's extremely there's a large number of Sullivans. I think you said it correctly. But that position, Maggie Goodlander's, his wife that is one of the counsels to the attorney general, Jordan, to me, that's the one here that just rings alarm bells like crazy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, she should, whether or not she's involved in any wrongdoing, you've either got to somehow recuse yourself or step down from that position. Because the way she's described as a counsel to the attorney general, this is someone like a trusted advisor who might be there on a number of decisions, not just kind of one focus area that they have. That'd be easier to say, okay, screen her out from this, but you know she could continue to do her job on these other items. It's tough when you get described so broadly as a counsel like that. Let me encourage you, support the work of the ACLJ. You can double the impact of your donation the entire month of November, donating online at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
I will say this. A good friend of mine who is the House Republican Conference Chair, Congresswoman Elise Stefanik, she has just put out a social media post calling on Jake Sullivan to resign. I want to get into some Veterans Day issues. Let me go to Than Minnick quickly. Than, when you get top leadership calling now in the legislative branch, that's what we were talking about. It's that kind of drumbeat that is going to start. I mean, we're right on the beginning of kind of the boom, 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 boom. It's just starting. White House wasn't ready to answer yesterday. Now you have members of Congress saying they, and not just a member of Congress, but a person in the leadership in the House of Representatives calling for Jake Sullivan to resign.
Right, a member of leadership calling for it. I'm not surprised, Jordan, and frankly, I think there's a lot of reason for it. I mean, especially given the urgency of the moment that we sit in. I mean, think about this. This is an individual who right now is going to have to respond to Iran when they're demanding that all sanctions be pulled out of them. They're demanding that we re-enter a nuclear deal with them. They're demanding financial aid from the United States. Jordan, I mean, I realize there's an adjudication process that happens here, but Jake Sullivan doesn't have any right, any you know, obligation to be the person that we send out on behalf of the United States to engage in those important negotiations. I don't think this is unreasonable at all. I definitely don't think he should be the person leading those negotiations. And if he's not going to be the person leading those negotiations, then he probably shouldn't be in that spot. He probably should resign. And quite frankly, the Biden administration would probably be better served by having someone who is uncompromised fill that role and then re-engage those negotiations if they insist on doing so.
You know what? I mean, we're going to get into this. Of course, we've got a full second half hour coming up, too. If you've got thoughts on this, we want to take your calls on it, 1-800-684-3110. I also want to hear from veterans and their families. Wes, you've got a new piece up at aclj.org. You've obviously served. We talk about your service a lot on the broadcast in different ways. But on this Veterans Day, this is the piece, more than ever, you say our veterans need your encouragement and support. Tell people about your piece.
Yeah, you know, the military service is unique, and the experiences of veterans are unique to that particular line of work. And it's easy on Veterans Day to mix up the traditions and the purposes of Veterans Day as opposed to Memorial Day. Memorial Day originally was created, still is a day in which we honor the war dead, people who died in service to the country. That's an important and sacred commemoration day in the United States of America. Whereas Veterans Day, today's holiday, is a day when we thank veterans, all veterans, living and dead, but especially those who are living or perhaps who are still serving. We thank them for their service on Veterans Day. It's not just about those who have died. It's more about those who are still living. But here's the thing. On this day, we have to remember what military service entails in the experiences of our veterans. For the vets still living, I'd like to focus on this part of this day. Witnessing the death of your other fellow service members and witnessing the destruction and the violence of war, that can leave a permanent emotional and mental scar on a person, and particularly in light of the chaotic withdrawal from Afghanistan, in which we didn't withdraw, we surrendered and fled. This has been a very difficult Veterans Day for veterans of the Afghan War. So it's important to remember the sacrifices borne by all veterans, and it's not always understood by the American people, and without meaning to, it's easy to take it for granted. For example, all veterans experience this, separation from families, missing key moments in the lives of your children because you're not there, deployment after deployment, risking one's life literally, and then watching the horrors of war up close and personal, including watching your friends die in foreign lands. There are fractured and failed marriages because of all the time away from home. And so military service and sacrifice, it can be total, dying for the nation. But most of the time, it involves wounds, some in the body and more often in the mind and the heart. But those wounds are very real. Jordan, is not an overstatement to say that when you witness the death of a fellow service member, a teammate in war, a part of you dies along with them. And so I think about those veterans today, and as a veteran who personally saw up close and personal a lot of death and dismemberment and violence in my 26 years in the Army. I just want to salute my fellow veterans today. I'm grateful for your service, and I pray for you, because we honor our veterans on this day, but military service has unique stressors in that service, and there are prices to be paid, and many of our veterans today are struggling because of what they saw and experienced in their military service. We should never take that for granted, and we lift them up, we thank them, and we pray for them, but most of the wounds of war are not visible to most of us.
And many, Wes, and we thank you for your service too, Wes, but many of these veterans today, and Veterans Day is a day for, it doesn't matter if you served in conflict or not, we still honor that sacrifice and volunteering to sacrifice it all if you're called. But that we have probably at a time, just probably since World War II, or at least Korea, where most of our veterans, at least if they were in the last, within the last five years or later, they served in conflict zones.
Yeah.
They went to war,
right.
Some for 20 years in Afghanistan.
Right.
And so where it wasn't just special forces conducting operations, of course, that's something to be thankful for too. But these are veterans that are dealing with the issues you just talked about, not just hypothetically, but in reality.
Yeah, so many of our war veterans that are alive today, as you mentioned, in the last 20 years, they didn't just deploy to a combat operations zone one time. It was over and over again. And this particular war against global terrorism has been so violent, and the injuries so horrific, and the death rate so high in many cases, that it's something that is unique to these men and women who went there, who saw that up close and personal. I think that's part of the reason that there are so many veterans who struggle with depression. Right now, the suicide rate among veterans is so incredibly high. War takes a toll on people. Even if you don't die in that war, you come back and you've paid a price for your service to the country. The veterans that I know, they did it willingly. They would do it again. They don't feel bad about raising their right hand and volunteering, but it's important for the American people to know about some of the sacrifices that they make, and how that the sacrifices they make, many of those sacrifices are experiences that will be with them for a lifetime, which is why our gratitude should be permanent, and our prayers for these men and women should be permanent as well.
You know, if you've got a story that you feel like sharing, if you feel like it would be good to share, in a way to tell people who are listening, and maybe it's an easier way to do it, though, than telling people that you know personally, but you feel like, you know, as a veteran, you need to talk or just say something, this is a great day to do it, and you can give us a call, and we'll provide you a platform to do that at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. From us, it's a huge thank you to everyone who served. I mean, this day, Like I said, you could have a Veterans Day and a Memorial Day, really every day as an American, because of the rights that we have, the freedoms that we have, the ability to fight back in places like court without having to resort to violence, because there are a group of Americans who step up and say, I'll be there if there needs to be conflict to protect our homeland, protect our values, to protect what we believe in. So let me just say thank you to all those veterans. If you want to give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. We're going to get into the Jake Sullivan matter more as well. And let me remind you, it's a matching challenge month. In November, whatever you donate to the ACLJ is doubled. If you're financially able to, a great time to support our work. It's at ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. We are going to take calls from veterans, and we are going to also update you on this story about Jake Sullivan. Let me just, if you're just joining us, first of all, just a happy Veterans Day to all who have served. We're going to spend time a little bit later in the broadcast talking about some of those issues. We just did that, if you missed it earlier in the broadcast, with Wes Smith, who is a veteran himself and on the ACLJ team. But we will get back to that, too. We're going to take your calls throughout if you've got calls as a veteran and you're affected by those issues that Wes was going through so eloquently. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. But we now have a top advisor to President Biden. And on national security, he's the number one guy. It is Jake Sullivan. Yeah, he was the national security advisor to Biden when he was vice president. Now, as he's president, he led a lot of the nuclear negotiations with Iran under the Obama years. But he also served as the top national security advisor and foreign policy advisor to Hillary Clinton when she ran. And now he's being implicated in the Durham investigation because he was on emails about the opposition research about the Russian bank, which all turned out to be false. The Russian bank was somehow communicating with the Trump campaign through its special computers at Trump Tower that they had installed. And there was this, you know, big conspiracy. And that, yeah, he testified under oath back in 2017 to the House that he had no idea about this. Yes, he knew the campaign was doing opposition research. He didn't know who Fusion GPS was. He didn't know these actors. So there's a question about whether he's already committed a crime by lying under oath. The second question, which we don't know yet, Than is how far Durham has gotten into it with Jake Sullivan specifically, because he's got, we talked about these ties throughout the government. He's got a wife who's a top counsel to the current Attorney General. That office, of course, DOJ and the Attorney General has to reauthorize Durham and kind of oversees that, even though he says it's going separately. When your husband gets implicated, and there's no suggestion yet, by the way, that Durham has got him as a suspect. That hasn't been reported out yet. But we do know that he went under oath, and it appears now lied under oath. So, Than, there's a lot to unpack here, but this is the highest-level individual yet under the Durham probe whose name is now starting to pop up.
Well, first of all, on Durham, Jordan, I would say this again. I said it maybe last week, but we have to make sure that he's allowed to finish his work here. And at this point, with this level of officials implicated, if he were to somehow be shut down or his investigation short-circuited, Jordan, that would be hugely problematic. But on Jake Sullivan, I wanted to read this line from the testimony that he gave in 2016. He said Mark, he's referring to Mark Elias, would occasionally give us updates on the opposition research they were conducting, but I didn't know what the nature of that effort was. Inside effort, outside effort, who was funding it, who was doing it, anything like that, Sullivan stated under oath. Jordan, that is what is being reported that Durham has now found to be factually inaccurate. In fact, Sullivan is believed, and not really believed, it's pretty much confirmed at this point, that he is that inside operator that was specifically formed about who these was. Jake Sullivan didn't bring it forward. He continued to let it propagate, and now it's all coming out. Jordan, if that is all accurate, and at this point, it sure seems like the burden of proof would be on Sullivan to indicate that it's not, then I don't see how the testimony that I just read before you, read to you in front of Congress, wouldn't be perjury, Jordan. I mean, it's one of the two has to be a lie.
You know, this is, to me, you've got now top-ranking House members. You have Elise Stefanik, a good friend of ours, and the ACLJs, as the House Republican chair. You've got Congressman Ronnie Jackson also calling for Jake Sullivan to resign. This drumbeat, it's just beginning, because people are just starting to get this information. But I think that the people who are doing that understand how key of a role this is to be that top advisor to the president, to oversee the National Security Council. I think all of that was kind of put under a microscope in the impeachment trial that we did, which involved a lot of National Security Council officials, you know, the twin brothers and all that. They would serve on the council that Sullivan oversees for the President of the United States. We come back, we'll continue to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110, both on this topic and on Veterans Day as well. If you have a story to share, that's 1-800-684-3110.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Secular. Let me also note that we have two members of the House, one leadership in Congresswoman Stefanik, leads the House Republican Conference, has called for Jake Sullivan to resign. Senator Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee, so a U.S. senator, has called for Jake Sullivan to resign as well in light of this new information that has come out. Now, you know, we're talking about all this. Adam Schiff, oh, we love Shifty Schiff, don't we? He decided to do an interview on The View. Now, he does not. Like, usually he goes on MSNBC, and that's about it. Places that are very safe for an Adam Schiff to do an interview. He doesn't want to take tough questions. And he goes on, and Morgan Ortegas, who used to be the spokesperson for the U.S. State Department under Secretary Pompeo, was one of the guest hosts of The View. So, surprise, surprise, Adam Schiff, you might get a tough question. Take a listen to this exchange. Remember, putting this all into scope and detail, that we now have a national security advisor to the President of the United States who also had the same bogus information. Take a listen, Byte 17.
You may have spread Russian disinformation yourself for years by promoting this. I think that's what Republicans and what people who entrusted you as the Intel Committee Chair are so confused about your culpability in all of this.
Well, I completely disagree with your premise. It's one thing to say allegations should be investigated, and they were. Mm-hmm. It's another to say that we should have foreseen in advance that some people were lying to Christopher Steele, which is impossible, of course, to do. But let's not use that as a smokescreen to somehow shield Donald Trump's culpability for inviting Russia to help him in the election, which they did, for trying to coerce Ukraine into helping him in the next election, which he did, into inciting an insurrection, which he did. None of that is undercut. None of that serious misconduct is in any way diminished by the fact that people lied to Christopher Steele.
No, I think just your credibility is.
Well,
listen, I'm proud of her for taking the stand to Schiff. He's a shifty guy. You know, he went through his list of, well, you know, I really, this doesn't under, the fact that it was all fake doesn't undercut anything. The fact that it's all lies does undercut everything. It undercuts the beginning of why he had started an investigation from House Intel. It undercuts the impeachment. Because the impeachment was done solely because, well, it didn't work for Mueller, so they needed to move to some other issue. So with people that the entire National Security Council was on the stinking phone call, as well as others from the government, that he was trying to get the powerful Ukrainian influence to somehow alter a U.S. election, which ultimately he's not in office right now.
Yeah, with a story concocted by the whistleblower that came to Adam Schiff behind the scenes and worked with him to craft this story. Look, I mean, in that soundbite you just played, Jordan, he said, well, all we were doing is you know, investigating every allegation. What did he say here? He said, allegations should be investigated. Okay, well, that's not what he said in the moment. When this was actually contemporary, when it was happening, Jordan, he said, I have absolute proof of collusion. He didn't say, I'm going to investigate every allegation. He said, I have absolute proof, and it's going to be my job to put that proof in front of you. The only problem is, Jordan, he never put it in front of us. Why did he never put it in front of us? Because he never had it.
And that's why she said your credibility is diminished. He kept talking about how he had the info, I've got the info. And this is why people like Jake Sullivan, all of this needs to be drilled down, because there were so many people who claimed that this was accurate, that this was good information. And they were, and in some cases, there was no information at all. But now he's at least admitting that it was all a lie. He is admitting that now. He just says it's a lie, but that doesn't undercut what he was doing.
Well, he used it for political purposes that totally divided the nation for years, and said that he had absolute proof of collusion between Trump and the Trump campaign and the Russians. There is no absolute proof. He did not have it. I think he knew at the time that he did not have it, and yet he is still sticking to his story that somehow he is not culpable in this. He's the head of the House Intel Committee, one of the most powerful committees in our Congress, and they are privy to information that no one else has, and he said there was evidence of collusion. We now know that there was collusion, all right, between the Hillary Clinton campaign and the Russians.
Let me go to the phones. I did ask those two who were calling on Veterans Day if they had something they wanted to share. This was a great day to do it. 1-800-684-3110. We'll continue to take your calls on both these topics. 1-800-684-3110. Let me go to Danny in West Virginia on line one. Hey, Danny, welcome to Seculo. You're on the air.
Yeah, thank you, sir. I'm pretty sad about all the politics and how everything is running our country right now, and how the left wing is really just making a mess of everything. You know, everything we fought for is sad, just to see where we're going with our freedom, you know. But what I was really wanting to say was, you know, when kids sit in a classroom and, you know, can become anybody they want in the world, or, you know, we gather around the Thanksgiving table or even Christmas dinner, sleep very comfortable at nighttime. You know, there's a soldier out there somewhere that's awake, away from their family, sacrificing their time to keep us safe. And, you know, that's something that I think we should take time out periodically throughout the day at any given time to just, you know, thank and appreciate. And I did serve in the 82nd Airborne with Panama and Persian Gulf Wars, but it was quite something. It's a sacrifice.
Well, let me say, Danny, thank you for your service on this Veterans Day, and you're absolutely right. Eloquently said it, Wes, really all the time. There's special operations forces going on. There's missions going on. Our troops are often in the line of fire daily.
Yes,
daily. We don't always know about those missions. Many of them are classified. We learn about them later. But that it's right that we take, you know, the freedoms that we take for granted every day, it's because we've got people on the front lines all over the world.
Yeah, and it's easy not to realize that. And I thank Danny for his service, too. And for the people, not through any maliciousness on the part of the American people, we just don't think about it. And we need to think about it, even besides the special operators who are involved more often in violent missions now that we're not on the battlefield in Afghanistan and Iraq. Even besides that, every day there are literally hundreds of thousands of U.S. service personnel stationed around the world, not in a combat operation today, but the potential for it. And they're stationed around the world, often separated from their families, as a deterrent to our enemies. And when I was listening to Danny talk, I thought about this quote from Winston Churchill, and I looked it up really quick because it is so true. We sleep soundly in our beds because rough men stand ready in the night to visit violence on those who would do us harm. I give God thanks today for those men and women who stand ready to defend all of us here at home.
Yeah, absolutely. I, let me, Again, just encourage you, if you've got something you want to share, because as a veteran, a story, a family member, you yourself, just to, again, remind people, I think that Danny did a great job of that in his call. The number you call is 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. We'll talk about this some more in the next segment of the broadcast. Than, I want to get back to the Jake Sullivan issue. It's really troubling to me because you had these individuals go before Congress, raise their hand, and say, you know, I didn't really know about this. Yeah, we do opposition research and campaign. And listen, I've worked a lot of campaigns. That's true. When your opposition research becomes the basis for a Mueller, a special counsel investigation, when it becomes a basis that leads into that an impeachment trial that cost the country a lot of money, that, as Wes said, divided the country terribly, and that it was all based off lies, and you testified that you didn't really know anything about it, but yet now you're in emails with the guys who are starting to be indicted.
Well, it became the basis for all of that, Jordan, and it effectively undermined the current administration. But then the same individual was given a very significant responsibility in the next administration. So it undermined the United States of America's ability to be secure going forward. So I would argue, Jordan, that it's undermined the United States for a number of years now. The other thing that I think is important here, and this has been a recurring issue for the Congress, it has to be a significant issue to lie to the Congress, Jordan. I mean, this is something that just can't be tolerated. Look, It would be his right, if he were called to testify, to plead the fifth. We've certainly seen that happen before. You saw Lois Lerner sort of clumsily plead the fifth after claiming her innocence. One can argue whether or not she did that effectively or not. But, Jordan, that was not what Jake Sullivan did. He proactively gave a statement, responded to these questions. We've got the responses here. Now the only question is not whether or not did he have the right to plead the fifth, but is what he told Congress true or not? Jordan, I mean, that's just a factual matter.
There are more members of Congress continuing to call on him to resign. This is an individual, again, he is holding a position that is so important to our national security. And if he's implicated, this is holding, and he's got his wife advising the Attorney General of the United States as a top counsel to him, to Merrick Garland. And this is, so the web is very large. I want to encourage you, again, share this with your friends and family. If you've got a Veterans Day story, we're going to talk more about that, too, and some of the issues veterans are facing. We come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110. We've also got new sound from Senator Marsha Blackburn on Jake Sullivan. She thinks, I like how she says it, thinks he needs to find something else to do with his time. Get out of government. Support the work of the ACLJ with our matching challenge at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. We'll be back with the final segment coming up.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
To Seculo. So I give a little preview, but let us say it in our own words. Senator Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee, also a great friend of ours at the ACLJ, had this to say about Jake Sullivan. I think you kind of lays it out. We were wondering about it. Now it's starting to be clear. What should happen next? Take a listen. Bite 21.
We've wondered what Jake Sullivan's role was in the Clinton campaign, the dossier, and how this was all fitting together. And, of course, now, with the Sussman indictment, we're figuring it out. Jake Sullivan is the unnamed foreign policy advisor who was helping to coordinate the dossier, which has been proved false, and now here we have Jake Sullivan still advising President Biden. I think it is time for Jake Sullivan to find something else to do with his time.
And I like the way that Senator Blackburn has to say it. You know, it says it a little bit nicer way even than we do. You know, we said resign, but it's the same word, find something else to do. And probably she does not mean in national security or in government service.
Well, and that's the thing, Jordan. I mean, I think he should probably find something else to do with his time, regardless of what the decision is on a crime, right? There's two layers of analysis here. First of all, did he commit a crime? Did he commit an underlying crime? Did he commit a crime by lying to Congress? And Jordan, on that particular point, that's where I don't think his wife should be involved in any way at the Department of Justice. But that's sort of a separate issue, right? The issue that Senator Blackburn is speaking to is whether or not he should be given this sacred duty of negotiating national security matters for the United States. And I don't know how you can, with a right mind, Jordan, come to a conclusion that, yes, indeed, he should. Even if he's never charged with a crime, Jordan, I think he has lost that trust, and she's probably right. He needs to find other things to do with his time.
You know, Wes, at a time when Iran put out their ultimatums for the U.S. to rejoin the nuclear deal, and according to Iran, they want the U.S. to remove all sanctions, an acknowledgement of responsibility for withdrawing from the deal. It's kind of like apologizing. And a guarantee it won't ever abandon the deal again. I mean, it's very simple, but those are very broad statements. Question here, we can spend time on each one of those points. Does anybody think that Jake Sullivan, who would be the person to lead this negotiation, should be leading or advising on these negotiations when he is implicated now in one of ridiculous, absurd lies about, you know, to take opposition research that is phony inside a campaign that you don't know is phony, but, you know, that's one thing. To take it to the FBI and try to get people criminally charged, which is what Jake Sullivan and this group did, is another thing. We don't want them in charge of this Iranian nuclear negotiation. I mean, they've got so many conflicts, so many issues, so many problems.
Yeah, absolutely not. You know, it looks like, you know, I won't accuse him of it, but it looks like he is much more committed to a political party and to, at that time, winning a political campaign than he is to the United States of America. And not only that, his involvement in the previous negotiations of the original Iran nuclear deal should disqualify him, because that deal was a farce and a fiasco, and the United States pulled out of it for a reason. And yet we're going back in to negotiate, and looks like we're going to acquiesce. Hopefully we won't, but it looks like the Biden administration is going to acquiesce to Iran's demands. And oh, by the way, in the meantime, media is reporting today that we are considering actually recognizing the Taliban as the official government of Afghanistan. And I'm sure as National Security Advisor, he has input and leadership in that role as well. I don't think he has the interest of the American people at the top of his list. But even if he does, what he has done in the past and what's coming out certainly disqualifies him to be in this sensitive leadership role.
Meanwhile, with all of this, here's Joe Biden. This today, speaking at a Veterans Day event, I'm guessing?
Yesterday.
Okay, so it wasn't the Veterans Day, but yesterday. Take a listen to this. He's the president of the United States. Take a listen.
So everything you're paying this much for a gallon of gas? In some parts of California, they're paying $4.50 a gallon.
First of all, it's pretty low number. I see that number in some, I'll just say it, I live in a red state, and those numbers are about the same. And I think the ones in California can get close to like $7 or more. So that might be a certain type of gas. It's now that diesel is less expensive right now, you know, in a lot of places than regular. But the point is, I play this to say, these advisors, like Jake Sullivan, under this administration, have an outsized power because we have a president who is pretty just unengaged from the day-to-day. And when you have a president who is unengaged from the day-to-day, is very much delegated out, these are the people running the issues. I mean, yes, they have to get the president's final say, but they're the ones putting together the info to direct the president. That's what they're supposed to do, except this is someone who's compromised now.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's why so often our criticism is not always just personally of Joe Biden, because it's not personal. We criticize the Biden administration, the Biden team, because of the decisions and the policies that are impacting negatively the American people in ways that hasn't happened in 30 or 40 years. And so the criticism is of the team, because, in fact, it appears to be the team that's running the country, not the president.
You know, folks, remember, too, when he's talking about gas, his government is doing a study on closing more pipelines into the country. So, I mean, I think that they're ratcheting up how it's tough on the American people for their own ideas about Green New Deal. Instead of letting that technology come before, like the, you know, those are the group of guys, just talking about Rivian and these new car companies. If it's competitive, wonderful, and that's great. But again, you are punishing everybody for the most part right now. Most people don't have electric cars. They rely a lot on gas for lots of different reasons and fuel. For him to just kind of talk about like, wow, like it's not his fault, like he's not directly implicated. And Wes, I kind of want to take this in actually to kind of finish this out on Veterans Day, because another one of those issues with Afghanistan. I would imagine, but I can only imagine because I'm not someone who served, especially those who over 20 years may have served Afghanistan, how tough it was to watch that withdrawal, but also to know that they are still troops with family who are U.S. citizens who are still stuck in Afghanistan. They saw their brothers and sisters in arms killed by this new ISIS-K group right at the end of the withdrawal. I mean, this has to be a big part of what you were talking about, the trouble and the issues that veterans face that oftentimes, you know, people are nervous about talking about mental health issues.
Right. Yeah, it has impacted the morale and the welfare of veterans like nothing recently in our history. You know, in the military, we have certain values that we pledge ourselves to. For example, honor, courage, selfless service. These military values are key to the moral character of America, and this Afghanistan chaos was a painful and troubling event that happened. And many of the veterans, they feel like not they themselves, but the Biden administration betrayed these distinctively American values like honor, courage, selfless service, and so forth. But I will say this as we come down to the end of the broadcast. The sacrifices, not just those who give their lives, but all the sacrifices of our soldiers, sailors, Marine, and airmen, they are part of the glue that holds us together as a nation, which is why we honor our veterans today.
Absolutely, folks. Let me say thank you to every one of you who have served, to all of those of you who have are in families of where a loved one has served, you know, a husband or wife, your children who have again, you're part of that sacrifice as well. And we remember you, too, on Veterans Day. Those who serve, but their families, the support units behind them who are so important. Let me encourage you, as always, if you can, financially, it's a matching challenge month for the ACLJ. Donate today at aclj.org if you can. Thank you, veterans. We will talk to you tomorrow.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.